I'm Celeste Headley. This is On Second Thought. We talked earlier about Georgia's changing demographics and the effect on neighborhoods and on elections. The whole Georgia voting process has come under a lot of scrutiny in recent years. The Daily Yonder, which is a news website, compared investigations into voting violations in rural and urban areas of the state. Reporter Tim Merrima found rural voters undergo a disproportionate share of state elections board's investigations. Frankly, rural voters are twice as likely to get investigated in Georgia than urban voters. And Tim is with us from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hi, Tim.
Good morning, Celeste.
Also with us is Atlanta-based voting rights consultant Fred McBride. Thanks for having you.
Good morning.
Fred, thanks
Thank
for being
you.
Here.
Thank you.
So, Tim, what exactly, did you get any sense of what is driving the higher number of investigations into rural voters as opposed to urban?
Well, that's the question. I mean, I did document by looking at specific cases over the last 2 years in 2015 and 2016 that there was a disproportionate number of citations coming from rural areas. And as you said, it was about twice the rate. I don't have a definitive answer. One thing I did hear was that it had to do with resources and how well trained and how much time there was for training and money at the precinct level in these individual counties.
Fred, one of the people, at least, that Tim spoke with absolutely denied that there was a difference in training. How much can training of precinct workers make a difference? How much effect does that have?
I really don't think it has that much of an effect. I do understand and appreciate the fact that resources are spent on training and poll workers do need to be trained. But I don't really think you need to train a poll worker to go over and tell someone, I'm sorry, ma'am or sir, you can't do that. I can't see there being that much emphasis on someone just doing a very basic task of just informing someone that they can or cannot do something. I really think that's a scapegoat.
So, Tim, he's kind of obliquely referring to a case which is in the courts right now. So tell us the story about this grandmother who went to help her nephew vote. He was 18 years old. She went to go help him vote. Why is she now being charged?
You're talking about Olivia Pearson?
Correct.
Douglas, which is in Coffee County, and she is a politically active woman who is known to help people get to the polls. She assisted different voters and then was asked to sign a form explaining why she did that. In her opinion, it was business as usual. This was something she was accustomed to doing. And from the state's point of view, she falsified an affidavit explaining the reason for her assisting that voter. And Fred knows more about this, but the case resulted in a mistrial on the first time around, and I believe is scheduled for another trial later in the year. And also, not only is she politically active, she is also a member of the city commission.
Fred, where does Ms. Pearson's case stand, and why is it important when it comes to voting law in Georgia?
As it was indicated earlier, it was a mistrial in March. The county is pursuing a second trial, which is scheduled for mid-August.
Is that just one particular case as far as you're concerned? Is this just about her, or does this have implications?
I think, in my opinion, it has implications. There were four individuals indicted for assisting voters that year. The other three took a plea. City Commissioner Olivia Pearson said she didn't do anything wrong. She didn't take the plea, and she was going to fight this, and she's still fighting this to this day. I believe that there are other individuals. It's just that these are very small rural communities. We don't hear about them very much.
And there's not a lot of attention because
exactly.
You're going to go to the place where population is concentrated.
Exactly.
We did get a statement or response to questions from the Secretary of State's office. They said, quote, I told the reporter I couldn't directly account for the rate difference of investigation, we assume they're referring to, between rural and urban voters being investigated by the State Election Board. Some counties are cash strapped. I opine this lack of resources might contribute to reduced staffing and county-level training, but I cannot be sure. In your investigations, Tim, did you find a difference between the amount of resources and training that people receive in a rural area, especially on the county level?
I really didn't go to that level. The single election commission person I spoke with in Coffee was in Coffee County, which is where the incident with Olivia Pearson occurred, and her response was, "It has nothing to do with that. Their poll workers are trained sufficiently, and end of story."
But this creates issues, especially for somebody who's concerned about voting fairness.
Yes.
What do we do about the focus on rural voters, and what, in your opinion at least, is causing it?
I first want to say first that I find it interesting there's a discussion about resources, yet the county has money to pursue her again for a second time.
That's expensive.
And to answer your question, we should be about more democracy, not less. So I appreciate this morning's attention to this, and I think we need to pay more attention to it to shed a light on what's happening, particularly in these smaller communities. If this were Atlanta, I doubt that would have happened. But in a smaller place where something—
Oh, that a city commissioner gets arrested and charged for helping their nephew?
Absolutely. Or helping someone who looked around the polling place and could not find a poll worker to assist them and asked Ms. Pearson, "Can you show me what do I do with this voter card?" I don't see that happening in larger metropolitan areas. It just seems to be a bit more impactful in a smaller community, particularly if someone, and in my opinion, is targeted specifically for helping drive and get the vote out.
So to what extent is this part of the broader conversation? There's a lot of criticism of the GOP because they've encouraged citizens to lodge, actually complain, created a website dedicated for regular citizens to lodge voter fraud complaints. Now, the argument could be made that it's not legal to help someone unless they're either illiterate or disabled.
And that's an argument that can certainly be made. But are we telling people that you can't assist or tell someone or point to a poll worker and get someone's attention? How far are we going with this? In our democracy, I just fundamentally believe we should be about more of it, not less. And this is scaring people from voting. There were voters in the courtroom during Ms. Pearson's trial who said it's not worth it. That's something we should never hear in the United States.
If I can dovetail on that, Ms. Pearson also told me that she knew of cases where people said, "Well, since what's happened to you, I'm leery of voting."
Of voting at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Tim, Ms. Pearson is and not just on the city commission, she's an activist. And when you mentioned earlier that she said she was just doing what she's always done, what does that mean? What does she mean what she has always done?
Well, she has helped people get to the polls. She's very active in the local politics. She speaks her mind, I would say, and that's my impression from talking to her. And other reporting has said that she sees somebody on the side of the road who's going to the polls, she'll give them a ride, that sort of thing.
Again, with the statistics, we're talking about an investigation of voter fraud. I'm speaking with reporter Tim Marima of the Daily Yonder and Atlanta-based voting rights consultant Fred McBride. And over a two-year period, that's 2015 and 2016, the State Election Board investigated rural voters at a rate of about one for every 23,000 votes. That's about twice the rate of urban voters. So, Fred, has your groups that you've been involved in terms of voting, protecting voting rights, why haven't they been out in rural areas?
A lot of groups are making a start, and I won't say making a start. We go everywhere. We're talking about groups nationally. Oftentimes, resources make that a bit more difficult, but we have paid attention to not just metropolitan areas, but also rural areas. I just think we need more resources, more funding, and more attention in these places.
You clearly, I don't want to make assumptions, but it looks like you think Olivia Pearson should be her case should be dismissed.
Absolutely.
So, but then how does one prosecute voter fraud if one is going to let things like this go?
You prosecute voter fraud when you find it. And so far, I have seen very few cases where undocumented residents or people are voting for people. It's not as common as people think, but you hear pundits argue voter fraud. We're addressing voter fraud. Where is it? We have been looking for years and we cannot find consistent evidence of people voting for other people.
That is Fred McBride. He is an Atlanta-based voting rights consultant. We also spoke with reporter Tim Marima of the Daily Yonder. You can find a link to Tim's reporting on voting violations in rural Georgia at gpbnews.org. Tim and Fred, thank you both so very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.